This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. We thank you for joining us on the program today. We are joined by Otto Karishian, the Executive Director of the Columbia Montour Visitors Bureau. We're going to be talking about tourism. Now, tourism isn't just a summer thing for folks going on vacation. Tourism is a year-round phenomenon, and in fact, here in the Susquehanna Valley, some of the biggest things are happening in the fall. In fact, we've just come through the Bloomsburg Fair and the Covered Bridge and Arts Festival. And as you'll hear from Otto Karishian, the list just never seems to end. So not only is there something to do for you here, but people are coming from all over to do those same things. Otto, thanks for joining us on the program. Welcome to the program. Let's begin with kind of a definition of tourism in this area, Otto. It's a lot of people don't think of their own hometown as a destination, of course, unless they live in Orlando or something.
Exactly, correct, yeah. And we definitely, in our area, we have kind of a pre-pandemic and a post-pandemic identity. And pre-pandemic, it did not, it focused more on Knoebels, and Ricketts Glen was there, but and our covered bridges. But it was really post-pandemic when the metropolitan areas couldn't get out where they were living, and the rules were a little less strict in our region. And then there was the great outdoors, and all of a sudden everything became outdoor recreation. The number of cars that we saw with kayaks on their roof, the state parks were to the point of being overloved, where they had to shut them down because they just got so crowded because everyone started enjoying the great outdoors. And that has slowed down a little, but it is still driving everything in our region tourism-wise.
So much that I talk about on this program that is like that pre and post pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
It really did change a lot of things, and tourism being among them, obviously. Where do I don't know if you have specific numbers, but how much does tourism bring to this area?
A lot. And I do have numbers. Actually, the state, we get our numbers from the state, and they usually lag by about a year and a half. So we literally just got our 2004 numbers. And the numbers for Columbia and Montour County, the direct spend was $325 million. So, yeah, it is significant. Tourism, it's argued, some say it's number two. That is a kind of the official word, but with agriculture being number one. But, you know, I'm biased. I think tourism is number one as far as a revenue generator in the state. It brings in roughly $50 billion to the state of Pennsylvania. And we used to be, back when we spent money at the state level marketing the Commonwealth, at our apex, we were we were the number two most visited state in the nation. We have since trailed off pretty dramatically. Back in the day, the state was spending approximately $50 million to attract tourism. Now they're spending about $6 or $7 million. That's it. So the results are there. You've got to market to the people. But we have a lot of assets that a lot of states do not have. And I'm not really shocked, but I have a lot of friends that live all over the country. And when they come to visit, Pennsylvania is ridiculously beautiful. And it really is. I mean, the diversity of Pennsylvania, we have pretty much everything less an ocean, but the mountains, the greenery, the waterways, they're fantastic.
Yeah, I know as a kid I thought this is what it looks like outside, but then when I started getting other places in the country, you realize that it's just not there some places. Yeah.
I lived in Arizona for 15 years, and the wow factor when you first moved to Arizona was like, ugh. But then after being there, 15 years, it's like, where's the green? Like, the only green you saw were the traffic signs on the freeway, and that was it. Like, yeah, you kind of get bored, and there's no real waterways and things like that. So, yeah, Pennsylvania is absolutely gorgeous.
And when you think of tourism numbers, I mean, it's not just the admission price to a tourist attraction. I mean, you've got people coming in for events that are here for a week or days, and you've got hotels and restaurants, and everything figures into that.
Oh, yeah, and not only the events, but also the history. History is definitely a driver in the Commonwealth, and, you know, the United States was founded here, and we've already started celebrating the 250th anniversary. Events kind of kicked off this year in the Commonwealth on July 4th, and they'll be going straight through to July 4th of next year. So, yeah, there's a whole lot of events and history and natural resources that draw people here.
And in your area that your agency covers, the Bloomsburg Fair just wrapped up, and they had the tour of the Liberty Bell replica unveiling.
Yep, and they'll be doing the same thing in Montour County as well, though I'm not at liberty, no pun intended. I'm not at liberty to say exactly what's going on and when it's going on, but it's in the planning stages, definitely.
That was a good pun, even if you didn't intend it.
Yeah, thanks.
If tourism was not in the picture, wasn't part of our area, how many jobs would there be lost?
According to the latest stats, there are roughly 2,200 hospitality, tourism-related jobs in Columbia, Montour County. And by the way, these are the 2004 figures. That's roughly about a 6% increase from the numbers from 2003. So it is a growing industry.
And that's just the two counties. So
that is correct.
Just to stretch out over our listening area.
Yes.
You know, and then you're including State College, which I'm sure with the Penn State games, that's considered tourism, bringing in people in for those. Is that part of it?
Again, that's a completely different region. Yeah. That's the Happy Valley Visitors Bureau. And, the game, just like, the Little League in Williamsport, especially in Montour County, we do see some hotel rooms from both. We'll definitely see them for the Little League, and we actually see them in home games for Penn State. It doesn't really stretch to Columbia County that much, but we definitely get people in Montour County staying over. They don't want to make the trip back to wherever they're going to Jersey or up to New England. It's very interesting. This was a campaign that we're still actually running, but we started pre-pandemic, and we were just in conversation with the owners of some of our lodging properties, and all our data was signifying that the bulk of the people visiting us as a destination were coming from like the Philly or the North, especially the North Jersey, New York market. And the lodging partners were like, They're coming from there, absolutely. But they're also, we're getting quite a bit of people from the Cleveland market. And our data was showing nothing from Cleveland. And then finally, through years of conversation, it dawned on all of us. It's like, well, that's because we're looking at it as a destination. And where you're getting these Cleveland people, they're traveling through, stopping because we're the midway point on their way to like New England, let's say. So we ran a campaign basically in Cleveland to be that oasis, that stop in the middle of their trip. And then we took it from there to the next level as the years progressed. We took it to, why don't you like make your vacation a day or two longer, either leave a day early or leave your relatives and seek some freedom a day early and come back. And now that you know what we're about, come and explore. And it all worked really well. And now we have a pretty good, robust destination. We're a destination point for the Cleveland market. So that's nice.
I always think of kind of the big things like the Bloomsburg Fair and the Covered Bridge Festival. Mm-hmm. The Susquehanna River is really kind of a central point for a lot of tourism activities now, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. It's interesting because back in the early 2000s, when I moved back to the area, you would mention the Susquehanna, especially to the locals, and it was almost looked upon as, oh, the river that floods, because we had so many, and it wasn't an asset. But that's definitely changed, and the number of people, I actually live on the Susquehanna River now, and the number of people I see kayaking down, and I do it almost every night, and the number of kayaks you see up on cars now. We just ran a trip through the Visitors Bureau 2 weekends ago, and we took about somewhere between 40 and 50 people downriver, floated for and paddled for about 3 or 4 hours, and then we got off river and we cleaned up the river. We had the group, you know, get tires and whatnot, whatever floats down during the floods, and then provided lunch, and it was easy to get people to come down and help. Everyone loves the river now.
Wow. And history, too. That's kind of probably brings in a lot of people or to the various sites.
Yeah, we're definitely going to see that the rest of this year and definitely into next year with America 250.
Even here in our area.
Oh, absolutely. The amount of history surrounding not only just the American Revolution, but the Civil War, and then even pre-American Revolution, Van Wagner is well known in our area, and you know, he assists with the Danville Heritage Festival that's going on now, and that's always very successful. I'm sure that's going to continue into next year, and almost all our communities, we're out there right now, kind of putting a calendar events together for all the events that are taking place. And almost every community in our two counties is celebrating the 250th anniversary.
Whenever I think of Van Wagner, the first time I met him was at the initial kickoff for the Iron Heritage Festival.
Okay.
And he was dressed like a miner and spitting tobacco into a cup.
Uh-huh.
So he gets into character.
Yes. And he just completed about 2-3 months ago. He scaled the highest tree on the highest peak in all 67 counties in the Commonwealth. So that was interesting. I last time we discussed it, he did a presentation on it. He was about 3/4 of the way done, so I'm glad he finally finished it up. He's a tremendous
Pennsylvania
asset.
Promoter.
Yeah. We do a quarterly digital magazine, and always the last page of our digital magazine, it's not a print magazine, the last page of our digital magazine is always dedicated to Van and one of his songs, and his songs typically expound on the history of our region.
He's like the Woody Guthrie of Central PA.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what people might think of tourism in general as like summer vacation tourism, but we're heading into the fall now, but that doesn't stop the tourism here. This is still a big time of the year.
Fall, absolutely. I mean, when I discuss tourism with the public or anyone, I typically say, you know, look at us as almost like a shore property where we do really well between Memorial Day and Labor Day, but then expand that because of the fall colors. And you know, then now we're talking into October, November. Then we have this drop off from like December through March, April. And then again, we pick up and go gangbusters. But yeah, our busy season is, you know, the fair, Covered Bridge Festival. Now you have Knoebels doing everything with their Halloween. And now we're even starting in the Decembers with Knoebels Joy Through the Grove and the Berwick Holiday Boulevard really regaining its strength again and returning to its days of old, that we're starting to see visitors grow in, especially the month of December.
I know as a kid we'd see that Berwick Boulevard. Did that kind of have a fading off? Is that
it did for a while, and then Mike Monaco over in Berwick, he kind of took it under his wing and really grew the program a lot. He has since handed it off, and they continue to improve it every year.
But do they still give out the cold potato chips?
The Wise?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. To the best of my knowledge, yes, they do.
That's a memory with something. Yes. Something about a very cold potato chip that was appealing to a 10-year-old.
They definitely do the they did the last time I did it, which was probably like 2 years ago. And okay. I know we were pretty heavily involved when Mike was bringing it back to life. And he was on our board at the time. And Wise has always been a great community partner.
Now, I know in the past you've told me that by this time of the year, you're kind of planning the next season. This part's already in stone.
Absolutely.
What are you thinking about now when you're working on tourism?
Lots of things.
Things you can't say yet.
No. Okay. Absolutely can. I absolutely want to. In Columbia County, over closer to Berwick, we have Briar Creek Lake and the park there, which is a county park. And about 2 years ago, I was approached by a handful of local disc golfers saying, hey, we'd like to build a nice course. I pointed them in the direction of the county commissioners to have a discussion with them. Didn't really hear anything for about a year. And then all of a sudden, boom. They built, if you're familiar with Failor Lake, I believe it's out in Snyder County, they built a professional level disc golf course out there. Steve Braun is the designer of the course. And we talked to Steve, and the county came through with funding, and we are in the process of building that course right now. Whether we'll finish it this year or we'll finish it real early next year is to be determined, but we are going to have a professional level disc golf course by the spring of next year. There'll be leagues out there. We'll have tier A, I'm learning all these things, tier A professionals out there playing golf on that course, at least one tournament next year. In addition to that, we also, this one has been going on since the pandemic, but it will be finalized again, pretty much the same time frame, about April or May next year. Right down the road at Hopewell Park, we'll have a pump track in place there to attract mountain bikers. And Danville Hammers are the state champions and have been for multiple years. And we just signed another contract to bring in two events with, it's called PICCL, Pennsylvania Interscholastic Cycling League. And we're bringing in a coach's retreat, and that usually corresponds with the Danville Spring Fling. And then in August, we're looking to bring in a PICCL Adventure Series type of race that will probably attract, I understand, about 300 or 400 high school cyclers and their families and their teams. So we're excited about both of those two new projects coming on board. We also have, this past year, we had Kayak Adventures do a fishing tournament on the Susquehanna. We were nervous for a while. We weren't sure there was going to be enough water in it. And then, that went really, really well. And then next year, we already have the contract in place with Bassmasters. We'll have them on the river, all kayak series, not any type of motorized boat. And that will take place. We haven't specified a date yet, but they are definitely going to be in town. The contract is signed. In addition to that, we kicked off it ended up becoming very successful. We always wanted to do a fishing passport. We had a beer passport. We had a cover bridge passport. We wanted to do a fishing one, but we could never find an app that handled what we wanted to do. And through talking to these fishing tournaments that are coming in, we found an app that did exactly what we wanted to do by species instead of by weight or size or anything like that. And we could call it the Master Angler Program. And this year, we kicked it off late because we had just found the app at that point in time. We kicked it off late May to coincide with this Commonwealth's Free Fishing Day. And since that time, we've had 1,500 fish documented and is caught. And, you know, we give prizes out to coincide with that. Ultimately, you know, we'll give away a couple of fishing kayaks, high-level professional fishing kayaks. So we're going to rerun that next year. And then in having those conversations with the fishing tournament and the Master Angler program, we kind of partnered with, and this answers another question of going back to how much our outdoor rec is. It was in the headlines about just visitors coming here and really just like overloving our natural resources, especially along the creeks and rivers. And then one girl, her name's Tanya Nabrowski, she took it on her own to kind of gather volunteers and kind of clean up after the people visit. And they tend to visit between Memorial Day and Labor Day, and then everything kind of drops off. And this issue isn't systemic to us. I mean, this is taking place all over the world. Like, our natural resources are just being overloved as more and more people discover the outdoors. But she started cleaning up, so we took this same app and we kind of gamified it to take photos of your trash, and then we document that and keep a running tally board on that, and then give out prizes every month to just a random person that just went out on the streams or around the river and helped clean up. So we're going to kick that off in full force. This year was more of a beta test on that. Next year, we're going to kick that off in full force.
I always feel out of breath when you've gotten through the whole list of things that are going on, because it's always something happening, which is, I guess, what keeps you busy all the time.
Yes. Yeah, finding things to do is not an issue.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.